We're coming close to Hanukkah, and there's a tremendous bracha that we have. Rabbi Cutler Zatzal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the year in such a way that we have many themes, different flavors. We go through the Yom Noraim, we have one idea, one experience. We go through Sukkot and Simchas Torah. We have Hanukkah, we have Purim, we have Shavuos, and a lot of these Zmanim bring out parts of us, challenge us, force us to think about things that we wouldn't have normally thought about, and in general create a certain balance in who we are as Yidden, and create a real Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sugya of Hanukkah is perhaps the most relevant in our time. Hanukkah is a holy war. The Lavush points out, even though everyone likes sufganiyot and latkes, but the etzem, the truth, let the truth be told that despite all the Hanukkah parties, there's no chiyuv suda on Hanukkah. A person can get away, be a very frum Jew, make it through the whole Hanukkah without having one Hanukkah party, as hard as that is to believe. Of course, if you sing, it makes it a sudas mitzvah, but with my cigarette, it's not Purim. There are guys who like to make every day Purim, but it's not Purim, it's not even close. And the Levush asks the basic question, which is, Chazal, we all always love a Suda. We always love a Matzah Varaya. Hanukkah, everyone's busy, even without the Chiyuv, you know, eating and going and moving. So why isn't there a Chiyuv? So he says a fascinating thing. He says that Purim, the Yontif, was one where our bodies were saved. We were saved from a physical danger. And every part of our existence, our physical existence, there's what to celebrate in terms of our bodies. Hanukkah was a holy war. Hanukkah was a war where if the Greeks would have us alive, but we looked like them, we looked like a bunch of Goyim, they would have been happy. Our physical existence wasn't in danger, but rather there was a war of the minds, a war of the hearts, about how to look at the world. And hopefully we'll be nichnas. The way to prepare for Hanukkah is to be nichnas into some of the sugyas of apikorsus that Yavan represents, and what our response is to such apikorsus. We'll see how many times we have over this period. It could be we'll get in a couple more. I'm not sure. But Al Kopanim, let's start with a question. And that is that the Medrash Rabbah tells us that all of the nations of the world, of the Arba Galuyos that we go through, the four exiles, are Merumas and Bracious. And where is Yavan? Yavan, the Greeks, are Merumas in Choshech Al Pnei Tahom, darkness. Yavan, the Greeks, are synonymous with darkness. How do we know, says the Pasuk, Choshech Al Pnei Tahom, that Yavan is darkness, is Choshech, as it says, Kisvu Al Keren Ashar. You should write as basically your bumper stickers on top of the horns of the animals. Everybody should write, put bumper stickers on the back of your car. Ein lanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We have no shaychus with the Rabbono Shalom. We have no connection with the God of Israel. That's what they wanted. So, fine. There are a lot of nations who didn't like us and a lot of nations who had problems with Hashem Yisbarach. But why is this nation called darkness? If you think about it, the most illuminating nation, aside from us, if you could say such a thing, the most illuminating nation in the world were the Greeks. The Greeks were the masters of architecture, the masters of art, the masters of the sciences, mathematics, engineering. All of these things were coming from Greek wisdom. To this day, we're still using their stickle tires, Rabbi Isai. So if there's someone that should be illuminating the world, not to be called darkness, so call them something else, you know, call them a dim room, call them something else, anything you want, but don't call them darkness. We use them. And Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, we believe in this Chachma. The Vilna Gaon knew their Chachma. Everybody who wants to understand Kiddush HaChodesh, everyone who wants to get into certain chazals and understand them, has to have a certain darga of Chachma that comes from these people. And yet they personify darkness. So what's pshat? So we have to go into the sugya of darkness. And the Mesillas Yesharim says something, a davar noira ad ma'od. He says that this world, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Toshis Cheshav V'Yilayla, the world is nighttime, Zeha Olam Hazeh Shedayim L'Layla. That this world is compared to night. And he says, how wondrous is this comparison? Wondrous? It sounds nice, you know, of course, it's dark, it's Gashmistik, and there's Ruchnias, but he says how wondrous this is. He says there are two major mistakes that people make in darkness, and one is worse than the next. The first mistake that you make in darkness is you can't see what's going on. You know, you can grab something, you push it, don't know what you're holding on to. Everywhere you go, you're groping, and whatever you feel, no clue. But there's a big mila to that mistake in darkness. You have no clue, but you know you have no clue. You know you're in darkness. And that's the first problem with darkness, is not being clear, but at least you know you're in darkness. Then he says the second mistake, which is an awful mistake, is you're in darkness, but instead of saying you don't see anything, you see a person, Roa Adam, a person, and you think he's an Amud, you think he's a beam, right? He's straight, standing like this. In the darkness, a person can look like a beam. And then you see a beam. And you think that beam, that Amud, is an Adam, is a person. And the Mesillas Yesharim says in darkness, this is the worst part of darkness. Not just knowing you're in the dark, because that would be okay. But it's when you think you're in the light, in the darkness. In the darkness, hey, that's David. Oh, knock, no, he's a beam. Oh, no, sorry. Hey, that's a beam. No, it's David. What are you talking about? And why does the Mesillas Yesharim pick these examples? When the Vilna Gaon says there are no extra words in the Mesillas Yesharim, it means you can be medayik. An amud, a beam, is lifeless matter. It's the lowest on the totem pole of existence. It's called a domain. It's a lifeless thing. It's a rock. And you could look in darkness and see a rock and think it's an adam. An adam is the most, the thing with the most vitality in the world. He's got chachma, he's got personality, he's got excitement. And in darkness you could see something with total vitality and say, no, that's a lifeless piece of matter. And you can take a lifeless piece of matter and say, wow, this is where the party's at. And this is the real sakana of choshech. The sakana of choshech is when you think you see something, when you think you have a pshat, then nobody even knows they're in darkness bichlal. Yavan, the Greeks, were masterminds of wisdom. But what they did was they denied all depth in the world. Anything that was deeper than the eyes, as the Ramban says, the Ramban calls Aristotle, Oisoi harasha asher eno maimin ela b'mashe enav royis. The evildoer who only believes in what the naked eye could see. So what they do is they say the following. They say, you want to know where life is? Look down here, use your eyes. Everything that's in the sugya of eyes, that's what exists. But anything else doesn't exist. They take the most superficial way of looking at the world. That the world is the umud of the world. That the world is lifeless. Not connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they say, that's the Adam. This is the word that, just get out your microscopes and start magnifying things. This is the only sugya that exists. If you can see it, you believe it. If you can't see it, it does not exist. They were koveya a metzias. That this world is not a place of darkness. No, you could see everything. There are no svekas. You could empirically prove everything. And if you can prove it, it's worthwhile. If you can't prove it with your eyes, then mehechetesi. And this, the Svasemes, we have a Kabbalah from the Svasemes that he said that Aristotle held, anything that I understand can be true. Anything that I can't understand can't be true. Not just the eyes, but this little piece of putty in our heads called the brain. Even the piece of putty, you'll excuse me, inside Albert Einstein's brain, inside even, yes, the Ravitchover's brain, this little piece of putty is something that can be kovei the whole mitzias. Anything that I can think up of exists, but if there's something that's out of my capabilities, it doesn't exist. It's not even a sugya bichlal. And if you look in Greek mythology, not telling you to do this, but if you look in Greek mythology, you will find that all of their gods, all of the gods of the Greek culture, were human. And they used to have relationships with each other and fight, you know, and men used to fight with the gods, and everybody was big as a whole Hamish matzav. You know why they did that? It's Pashat. Because the pshat is they couldn't make a god outside of their own comprehension of what things are. Since we're people, and we have this brain, and this is what makes sense of how things happen, therefore they made the entire Marachas of Shemayim into an omud. They made everything into a silly story of this one offending that one, and then sending out this, and then that. All to create a matzav where there's no other sugya other than what the eyes can see. Similarly, in their architecture, you know, there are certain cultures that have architecture with creativity, where you can see all sorts of, you know, strange structures and their bizarre shapes. The Greeks were very into precision. Everything that they did was precision. Their columns, their structures, everything. Every sculpture that they had was to a T. Why? Because the pshat is there's no room for anything other than being exact. And whatever we can have that's exact, that's what exists. And everything else, it's not around. It doesn't exist in Metzias, Bichlal. And this is the greatest choshech that could ever be. The choshech of creating the wrong shtickle Torah. Not just knowing that you're in the dark, but saying, this is the clarity. My microscope is defining the reality of the world. I found something. There are a lot of times, you know, you see different yeshivas, and there's certain ones that make you mamish dance. I found this Rashi when I was learning Pesachim, and at the time I had in mind, this is a Hanukkah raid. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Adaf Lama Dalad Amabez. It says, you come from Babel, which is a place of darkness, and you say a Shmaisa de Mechashchan, you say a dark Shtickle Torah. What's a dark Shtickle Torah? What's a Shtickle Torah of darkness? Says Rashi, Kishe'ein yoidin tamoy shel davar. A bad shtickle Torah that's dark, that's called dark, is when you don't have pshat in the Rashba. Ein yoidin tamoy shel davar. You have no clue what the pshat is in the Rashba, or in the Tosfos, or in the Rashi. And boidin milibam tam she'eno. Instead of saying, I have no clue, my head is made of wood, you make up your own shtickle Torah to answer the Rashba. Now it's good. You sold everyone the Brooklyn Bridge. Everyone in the crowd was very impressed with the answer you gave, and everyone's clapping you. And where did it come from? It came from the lack of desire to acknowledge you have no clue. And now there's a big problem. We have a big darkness in our hands. Why? Up until now, Klal Yisrael's been having this bomb kasha on the Rashba. So you know what? Everybody started to try to work on it. Try to understand the Rashba. Comes this fellow. He creates a shtickle Torah. He tells you the answer. He sold you the Brooklyn Bridge. Now you just write it in your notebook. There's no more question. No more question. The guy made it up. It came from his chalent, from his kugel, from his baich. He had no clue what he was saying. He created a spitz choshech in the belt. That's exactly what Yavan did. Yavan doesn't say their mysteries to the world. Yavan tries to put everything under the rug. Everything that they can't understand is non-existent. You know, there's something called a scientific question. Do you know what a scientific question is? A scientific question is a question, you ask something and then you have to prove it. And if you can prove it scientifically through your eyes, then it's been scientifically proven, either through research or through witnessing it, examining it, documenting it. That's a scientific approach to things. And therefore, do you know what they did? They took out the most basic question. How? Oh, we don't ask that question because that's not scientific. What's the question that they forgot to ask? They document everything. They magnify it by 1,000, by 2,000, by 3,000, by 4,000. And they're documenting and they're writing. They only forgot one thing. And it's the question that Klal Yisrael started with. Avram Avinu went around the world. He didn't just document with his microscope. He probably did that too. But you know what he said? Mi Baal Habira. Who did all of these wondrous things? Who? You can't ask that in science. It's not a scientific question. A scientific question is just documenting. Wait, who? Who, what? What's who? We just document what we see, and that's the reality. There's no who. Avram Avinu spent his entire existence trying to figure out, if all of these wonders are around me, this must have been done by someone. So now you say, no, I read documentaries, all these things. I know that it doesn't have to be done by someone. Okay, so let's do a test, okay? Whoever thinks that they're so learned on the world and they know, I'm going to put a piece of chocolate cake on the table. Okay, we're going to do an experiment. Chocolate cake on the table. Send two yeshiva bachrim in there. Right? So what happens? So now they come and they eat this chocolate cake. Fine. One guy says, we have to thank who did this for us. And the other guy says, I'm sorry. I have no clue what you're talking about. It's like, somebody made us this cake. We have to thank. What are you talking about? And he starts mashing the cake, and he takes out his microscope and says, look, these are cells. You see? I said, okay, buddy, relax. I'd like to thank the Baal Bas. I'm sure his wife made something very nice for me. Like, it can't be scientifically proven, buddy. It's so obvious. There's a Baal Habira. Someone made this chocolate cake. Rabbi said there are only 6 ingredients in this thing, and you can't believe with your moach, with the brain in your skull, that it's possible that this chocolate cake came from nowhere. And you feel the need to thank and have a connection with whoever gave it to you. But all of a sudden, when it comes to my life, the complexities of the body, all the red blood cells, the white blood cells, all of the electrons, protons, and neutrons in the world, all of the oxygen and carbon dioxide, all of the H2O, all of the waters, and all of the things that come together, can't be scientifically proven. Rebointed to high al-makula. They sold us stupidity. They sold us that you're not allowed to ask the most simple question where the entire world was saying, su'u marom einechem. Bring your eyes above u'ra'u and see. Mi bara eile. Who created all of these wonders? They changed the sugya on us. What they did was they said it's not a scientific question. And I remember once I was speaking to, don't ask me how this happened, I think he was even a priest. He was a professor in UCLA, interesting convo. He was talking about how, you know, UCLA is not a good place for a priest. But he was a philosopher. And he wanted to schmooze with me. And I told him over the mushel of the Chovas HaBavas and others about this world that a cat... You know, someone who wants to make up that a cat came onto a table, knocked down ink, and made a beautiful book, a beautiful poem. And I'm telling him, see, the world, every part of it is so complex. He can't. And he says, that's not a philosophical argument. Okay. The pshat is, that's the matzav. You create, the dice are loaded. They are not willing to be makir. The basic human, I'll give you the word for it, intuition. The parts of the brain that we have many parts. We have the mathematical parts of our brain. We have the creative parts of our brain. We have the parts of our brain that have to do with street smarts and motor skills. And we have something called basic intuition. You know what basic intuition is? That when you see a piece of chocolate cake on the table and you eat it, you look for the Baal Bas and you look for his wife and you say, thank you very much. They took intuition out of life. Every other area they're willing to admit. You know why? Because there's no consequence to a chocolate cake. You don't have to be a better person if the chocolate cake was made by someone. Just say thank you. But if Hashem made the world, whoa, that's serious. That's serious. And you should know, there's a book with a haskama from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal. And in there is an amazing book. He brings ksavim from none other than Darwin, the famous guy who made us all into monkeys, Rav Osai. And this man writes, you can see the Yeridas HaDarith. You can see that there was an akuda of emes in his writing. He writes, I admit, he writes this in a mikhtav, in a letter. He goes, I admit that when I contemplate the human eye, when I look at the complexity of the human eye, I begin to shudder, to quake at how ridiculous everything I'm trying to prove is. The complexities of the human eye. Do you understand what's going on there? In neuroscience, you know how little they know about the human brain. They know more than they know, they don't know, Rabosai. I just took my kids to the aquarium in Baltimore recently, a few weeks ago when I was in America. And it says that 95% of underwater existence has not even been touched. No one's ever gone down there. Too much water pressure, Rabosai. The world is a place where the eyes know the least. The eyes are not where the sugya is. Someone told me something fascinating. Someone who was sick, and he's gotten better, and the B'schus says this, you should have a full refuah shlema. He was saying that the doctors say that when they check your blood today, and they see it's clean from whatever machla, so it used to be that was a total celebration. That was it. But they find that there's something that they're stumped. Because they notice that what you see is not what you get. A lot of times things show up as totally gone, and they come back. So they say they have no clue. They're in trouble. They're in trouble right now. We could daven, we could call their bonus home. But in their sugya is over when this happens, Rabosai. They have to go home crying. Because they were koveya the entire mitzvah based on their brains. That's where the sugya starts by us. Whenever you see something that this piece of putty can't understand, you finally start seeing reality. Because this world is barely shayach to our understanding. It's a chiddush that we understand one iota of what goes on here. Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, how wondrous, how numerous. Kulam bechachma asisa. You created them with your wisdom, not with ours. If it was our wisdom, we could just document everything and it's a sure thing. But they took the ikar sugya out. Kisvu al keren hashar, write a bumper sticker. Ein lanu chelik ve'elokei Yisrael. We only deal with the sugya down here. We have no chelik with Hashem up there. We're just dealing with things down here. We're going with this brainless, it's literally brainless, brainless way that we don't treat any other thing in our lives. It's the scientific approach. This is the mitzvah that we're going to go with. And the eyes are very dangerous, Rabosai. You know, when you're a kid, you know, in a magic show, right? I'm still like this. You know, I have to take my kids. Sometimes you watch this, and you're just like, wow, that guy really chopped that guy. I mean, you're watching this, like, and he's waving, and you're like, wow. Then they, like, separate, and like, wait, where are these mirrors? Like, wow, he's amazing, right? Naturally, we go according to our eyes. In fact, the Rambam has a big machlokas with Rov Rishonim. Rov Rishonim holds magic is real. The Rambam holds that magic is fake. All of it is fake. And the isser of doing magic, according to the Rambam, is tricking people with sleight of hand. Convincing them that there's a reality with the eyes that doesn't really exist. The eyes are the thing that can be fooled the easiest, Rabosai. All of Hollywood would be out of a game if the eyes weren't something that could be easily fooled. The eyes are the last place to be koveya a metzias. Chacham, a wise man, it says in Koheles, Chacham, Einav, his eyes are birosho, are in his head. You think you need Shlomo, the wisest of all men, to tell you that your eyes are in your head? You need Shlomo Amal to waste ink on that? Shlomo Davin to be the wisest man in the world. Really deep over there. Chacham, Einav, birosho, your eyes are in your head. Shkayach, I checked last night, they were there. Thank you, Shlomo Amal. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, if you want to use your eyes, you have to use them with your head. You have to be koveya the metzias, not based on your eyes, but your einayim have to be in your rosh. You have to understand that the wisdom of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Torah, that's how you see things with your eyes. You don't go backwards. You see something that looks like it's against the Torah. I have a question, such a deep question. Shkayach, if you have a question. You had this question at the magic show when the guy was chopped up into five pieces. Your deep question. With five-year-olds there, you were still having your deep question. No, it's the same problem. Same sleight of hand. You didn't have your Einav Bereishai. Chacham Einav Bereishai. A mensch has to have his Einayim in his head. And this is what we're fighting. This is what we're fighting. And when you have a Bara Eila, when you have a Mi Bara Eila, guess what, guys? I hate to take Eisha Torah's courses out of business, but the questions become stupid. That's right, the questions become stupid. Why? Because when you have someone who actually creates things, then it's not hard for him to do anything. For example, carbon dating. I'm sorry for bringing you into these shtusim, but we'll use an example, carbon dating. Carbon dating is a very shver sugya. You can check in carbon how old the universe is. It's true. Now, you know what? If this world was created by an explosion, that's a very difficult question, which we have to ponder and have symposiums about for many, many years to come. I agree. But with Bari Olam, Revolva explains it in this most simple mashal, and if you think this is an oversimplification, you're wrong. This is the simplest teretz for somebody who's a Maimon ben Maimon, who understands that chocolate cake doesn't come through explosions, and people don't come through explosions. He says two guys are in a museum, and a new painting comes up. And one guy says to the other, "Wow, look at that painting. It's a painting of an 80-year-old man." He says, new painting here? I don't know. How'd it get here? It must be 80 years old, that painting. He's like, "What? How do you know?" It's like, "Look at the guy in the picture. He's an 80-year-old man. It must be an 80-year-old painting. I thought it was new. I thought they just brought it. I thought it was from a new artist." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You don't think that somebody can paint something that looks 80 years old? If it looks 80 years old, there can't be a painter who paints an old man? What kind of ridiculous question is that?" Bari Olam can't use a paintbrush with a certain amount of carbon in it? That's where we come to? We do come to that. When we want to just party and be free and not recognize that there's Hashem, then all these sugyas are shver, Rabbosai. But when you have a Bari Olam, when you have a Balabira, these are stupid questions. Stupid. The Ramban, the Chvoid of Atzmo, in the beginning of Bereshis, says the Chachmei Ateva determined that man could not have lived forever. He could not have. Why? Because if you look at the consistency of man, and he's part of the elements of the world, and all elements decompose. And you see, he even takes food from the world. We're all combinations of all the foods we eat also. We're steaks, we're bananas, we're tangy taffies. Anything we eat turns into us. So therefore, it's logical. They're saying, good, you decompose. That's it. There can't be a man who lives forever. So how could it be they have this big kasha, the Ramban, in the beginning of Bereshis? How could it be that man, before the chet of Adam Arishan, was supposed to live forever? He can't. Because, you see, he's got to decompose. Kasha. Says the Ramban, he says, L'ma'aminim, what's his lashon? Elon ledas kitane amana. This type of question is for small people in their amuna. People who just believe the world came on its own. Shabriyahu b'chiyuv. But he says, for us, this question is not a question. You know why man looks like that right now? He looks like a tangy taffy, a banana, a chalent, and all the other things that are part of him, water, earth, etc. Because he sinned at the chet of Adam Arishan. After he sinned at the Eitz Hadas, Hashem changed his composition, and therefore he looks like the way he did. That's brilliant. Wow. No, it's not. That's not brilliant. That's pashut. It's simple. When you believe there's a Baal Habira, it's exactly what's going on. And this is what the Yevanim wanted to do to us. And Bari Olam taught them a lesson. Because now when you're a statistician, you come, right? You can picture Yevon National News. They're coming and they're doing the statistics here. So they go, we're the Rabin. We're the most numerous. And they're the Ma'atin. They're these 12, 13 yeshiva bachram. That's all they were. Rashi and Zayta Bracha. 12, 13 yeshiva bracham. That's it. Okay, we're the Rabin, we're Matim. Okay, but maybe these guys have real, you know, they got six packs and they're big yeshiva bachram with bazookas. No, they're chaloshim. Giborim yad chaloshim. We're the ones who have it and they're the chaloshim. So if you put those two together, you have no justification for the winning. Rabin beyad Matim, okay, but maybe they're strong. No. Giborim beyad chaloshim. They're shvachi yeshiva bachram, they're small in number, okay. Then the only way to explain this is Tmeyim Beyad Tahorim. It must be that there's something above. Because if it doesn't work with our eyes, guess what, buddies? The joke is on you this time. You have no way to explain this statistically. You said, Kisvu Lachem, Kisvu She'im Lachem, Kelech Lelech Yisrael. You wanted to deny everything above this bottom part of the world, everything that's the real existence. You're going to be stuck here. because we just schooled you. And we are Shvachi Yeshiva Bachrim. We're not a number. We're not talented. We're nothing. And that was the Gilui of Zaydin Biyadoyske Sarasecha. Hashem showed you want to know what's real? Torah is real. Like we've been saying all these weeks, that Torah is the top of creation, not a microscope. A microscope is the bottom of creation. Torah is the top of creation. And anyone who has a shaychus with Torah can take on anybody. Can take on anybody. Avram Avinu and Eliezer, no problem. They took on all the kings. No problem. And even today, people want to deny this. The Maccabees, okay? The Maccabees. The Maccabiah, the Olympic Games of Klal Yisrael. Who are these Maccabees that people imagine? These very big guys, right? These big athletes. What happened? Do you know what the Rokeach says the word Maccabi is? The Rokeach, Harishan Rabbeisai, one of the great Mekubalim, says Maccabi is me, Kamoicha, Ba'elim Hashem. It's a notricon for me, Kamoicha, Ba'elim Hashem. Who is like you among the gods? Hashem. Every Maccabi represented that he's garnished. That he's nothing with the Gashmiyistika eye that could prove that anything should work here. It's the stupidest thing for him to go to war right now. The only reason he was Matzliach, because he was a shtick of Mi Kamoicha Ba'elim Hashem. His very existence, his very Metzias, was one advising that there's a Bari Elim. And that's the Nakuda we have to fight. We have to go back to the Pashtus, Rabosai. We have to go back to the Pashtus. It's very nice, all these permissions to this and workshops over here and over there. I'm telling you, if you would be misboinein on how you see the simplicity of your existence, how you intuit things, you'll see that Bari Olam was always in front of you. But you tied you tied yourself in knots to the point where you lost your pashtas. So, u'enechem morom, u're'u mi bara elam. We have to see Bari Olam in our lives.